Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Denton sitting in for Kevin. I love a good coinkydink, Max. And we just got one.
Aren't they the best?
The NFL is listing their top 100 players of the season. They're doing this weird bit where they drop two a day instead of 10 every like 4 days or whatever they've done in the past.
10 a week is usually the...
Well, they just dropped number 52.
Who's that, Denton?
And number 52 happens to be Terry McLaurin. That's purely coincidental, right? It just happens that a trade request was made yesterday for a list that I'm sure players have known about for a very long time. And it just happened to be released about 15-ish hours after they made the trade request. By the way,
doing a little noticing.
You'll notice this too. The team tweeted about it. So where were all the people that got all up in arms that they didn't tweet a picture of his wedding 6 months after the fact? Like 2 weeks ago, they tweeted about Terry getting 52 on the top 100. Is that progress? I don't know.
Something.
Let's ask Ben Standing. Ben jumps on with us every Monday and Friday on the Kevin Sheehan Show. A lot to discuss here, Ben. What is more important to contract negotiations, Madden ratings or the NFL top 100 list?
Oh, boy. Boy, that's a good question. Which of those? I'd probably go Madden ratings, I think, right? Because, I mean, people really care about that. The top 100, you know, I don't know that anybody super-duper cares. Maybe a specific agent might today, but... I'll go Madden rating. I mean, Schefter's tweeting out about that. Like, people are really into that. I used to be, but yeah, I'll go Madden.
What was your reaction last night when the news broke of him being Terry asking for a trade?
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled in the sense that I had just published a Jayden Daniel story I wrote, which has gotten lost a little bit. Well, look. You know, we still don't quite know the exact issues here in terms of like what each side is asking for. Where's the gulf? But at the moment, it feels like the McLaurin side is kind of going through the steps you do when you want to try to put pressure on the team. The players don't typically have a lot, but okay, you skip OTAs, you skip minicamp, okay, then you skip the start of training camp as a holdout, then you return as a hold-in. While you're holding him, you go outside and make yourself seen to the fans to, you know, cheer you on as a reminder, hey, he's here, but he's, you know, not really with the team right now. And now you get this. I mean, the thing is, though, the next step after this is, what, missing games in the regular season? Like, it feels like this is a big, big line here. I don't necessarily know that anybody's going to cross it, but... I don't really quite know where else the Terry side goes here. And from the Washington side, you know, they're just – my take all along has been in 2022, the organization had almost no leverage because, you know, all things Dan Snyder were going on and Terry was the one shining light they have, and so they got that done. This time, you know, this team is coming off the season they just had. Certainly Terry was a huge part of that, but, you know, Adam Peters and the organization have a lot of – good capital built up, you know, goodwill built up. So, and they have Jayden Daniels, right? So they can wait this out, I think, if they need to. Not to mention they can use the franchise tag next year. Not to mention Terry's under contract this year. So I don't know if the team is budging. It doesn't appear that way, but both sides have clearly been stubborn, and here we are.
If he sits out games, is that when it officially becomes a distraction, or is now that he's asked for a trade, is this when it becomes a distraction?
Well, you know, when we talk about a distraction, it really is about the people inside, right? Like, we can all yell and scream, get this done, oh, come on, Terry, you know, be reasonable, whatever the scenario might be. Inside the building, you know, look, I mean, Terry is there. But I don't know if it's a distraction to them, and that's all that really matters. So I think probably not as big of a deal right now. You know, Dan Quinn is going to get asked questions, and he's just going to deflect, as he's done over the last few days, even more so. You know, something to the effect of, hey, we're glad to see Terry. Terry's great. I'll leave it up to Adam to deal with the contract. And we're not going to talk to Peters, you know, who knows, until, you know, the start, right before the season starts, or maybe if something gets done. But, you know, we're not going to hear from anybody. So we can all, you know, ask, you know, try to ask questions till we're blue in the face. We're not going to get anywhere. So the question is it a distraction inside? At the moment, I'll say no. But, you know, we'll see. I think here's the other thing. If we were in the locker room, we'd be asking the players about this all the time, on, you know, for better or for worse. That's just what would happen.
Right.
In this setup, where the players are walking off the field, we get a couple of them at the podium. You know, that's not really we're not going to pepper them in this way. So it's not going to be the same deal. So I don't think they're going to get that level of distraction either. Get to the season, that's a different story.
You're not an odds maker, but I'm going to ask you an odds maker question. What are the odds that Terry's out there signing autographs tomorrow?
I mean, he's done it 4 practices in a row. I thought this would be over after the first practice. Okay, they did the second one. You know, I mean, it's gotten a little more muted as time has gone on. Yesterday, Terry walked out. He initially skipped the fans and went over to, like, where a lot of the people from the team were hanging out, friends, family, et cetera. At that point, because Jaden was going to talk, I left the scene, as did most others. I don't know that anything else happened after that. I didn't see anybody make a fuss over it. So I don't know. I mean, to me, I would advise no. Obviously, I'm not. Not only am I not an odds maker, I'm not a PR person helping to, you know, set up a good scene. But I think it's set. You know, the message has been sent, and I don't think you need to do any more. So he signed the autograph. People get it. He's a good guy. You know, good at his job. And you know, some point here, somebody's going to have to blank. And you know, my guess is it'll be the player more than the team. But the team still has to find a way to, you know, not just bring him back with hard feelings, to bring him back in a way that keeps the relationship healthy and productive. And that's going to be the tricky part. But again, we'll have to see. If neither side's willing to budge, then, you know, we're going to be stuck here.
Who would be opposite of Debo outside if there is no Terry come week one?
God, we're here, huh? Okay.
You already did your 53-man projection, so I imagine you have some idea.
Well, I mean, obviously Noah Brown, you know, they're still, you know, mixing him in practice as he's been recovering from his knee. So that's one guy. Debo has had a very good camp, I would say, so far. You've been out there. I mean, he's made some – seems like every practice he's made a play or two that, you know, really kind of catches your attention. Jalen Lane has been probably the next most consistent receiver. Now – typically, those two guys are both lining up in the slot, so I don't know that necessarily Lane is the other guy. You know, you've got Luke McCaffrey, he would be on the team, and then there's that group of Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, Chris Moore. I don't know that any of those guys would start for me. Look, let's be realistic. I think if this thing really goes south and Terry is just not going to show up or whatever, they're going to have to look at the free agent market. I know that, like, Amari Cooper's out there. I'm not saying that's the fix, but, you know, there's going to be some other vets out there that are probably a little bit better than some of the guys they have. So just like last year when Noah Brown was signed and then by week two was essentially the starter, you know, it could be that situation. Again, this is getting ahead of it, but, you know, ahead of what's going on. But, yeah, I guess we have to start contemplating that.
Ben Standig, my guest here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. You can find his podcast, The Last Man Standing Podcast, and go to his Twitter at Ben Standig. You'll find a link to his Substack where you can see all of his Commanders coverage. And go read the article that he put out about Jaden Daniels before the Terry McLaurin news stole that from the headlines. You mentioned Debo Samuel. He's had a really good camp so far. A guy that I think has been struggling in the wide receiver room has been Luke McCaffrey. What have been your takeaways in what you've seen from him at practice?
For McCaffrey?
For McCaffrey, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think he's still developing. I think you can see more of a comfort level over time. Obviously the ideal world, Terry is back for the purposes of, you know, the team. But I think even for McCaffrey, because I feel he still needs some seasoning there. I just did a 53 player projection the other day, and I only had 5 receivers on it, which isn't to say that I think you should only keep 5. It's just that I think with the practice squad the way that it is, they can probably get three of these guys, a combination of some vets, maybe a rookie, to get over there. You'd have some depth in that regard, because I don't know that I'm going to have to keep these other guys necessarily. They haven't done enough for me to say they should be on the team, which would leave McCaffrey as, you know, sort of the backup outside receiver. And, you know, if he can be that third guy on the outside, you know, that would be a pretty good step. And if he can do it with Terry and Noah Brown out there, then, you know, he's going to get one-on-ones. He's, you know, going to be eased into it. If he has to start, well, now we're having a different conversation. So I think he's made some good strides. I think there's some general in practice. The outside receivers, though, have struggled against Washington's secondary. You know, you can't always take what's happening in practice as, like, a real testament to what is happening, because the offense is trying different things. They're not really trying to beat the defense necessarily, but they've struggled to create space to get open. The two guys that have been good have been the two guys coming out of the slot. So, you know, I think McCaffrey's been fine. I mean, all things being equal, doesn't seem like it's, you know, there's been any setbacks, or, you know, he continues to progress, but I don't know that he's ready to, like, take on a much bigger role right now.
How has Javon Kinlaw looked on the defensive line now that we've gotten at least a couple of days in pads?
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
He looked very big. I don't like him in the 52, in the number 52, I gotta be honest. He looks, you know, one, it kind of reminds me of somebody else from recent vintage Commanders, but also just, I don't know, feels like he should be have a bigger number, a hulkier number than 52. But okay, you know, look, I think the defensive front in general has been, you know, one of the standouts so far in camp. Again, take, you know, grains of salt. And it's in part because they just have a lot of bodies getting thrown into the mix. And he's been one of them. He's been active. You know, I still think it's hard for the defensive line to really gauge too much, even with pads on, you know, because it's just not the usual deal. One thing they have not done yet is the one-on-one drills with the offensive lineman against defensive lineman. That, to me, is always a camp highlight. I don't know when they're doing that, or I assume they will do it. And to me, like, those would be that'd be a fun time to see Kinlaw go up against somebody in that regard, rather than just, you know, be part of the big mob in the middle of the field. But look, he certainly looks the part, and, you know, that with defensive tackle rotation with him and Payne and Newton. And Goldman, maybe Sheldon Day, you know, I think that's a pretty good group from a depth perspective, and I think that he's got a chance to stand out. Is he going to stand out enough to be justify the 3 for $45 million? I don't know, but I think he's at a minimum has enough to say, hey, we have another guy in this rotation, and we can keep rotating players in and out to keep them fresh all the way through the game.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this. I've talked about this with a few others about how Jaden looks so much more comfortable this year. In watching a couple of interviews, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, it sure feels like Daron Payne has opened up a little bit, like he's really happy to be here. It feels like we're seeing a different side of him this year. Would you agree with that?
Well, he's, you know, one of the least chatty people I've ever covered. I'm not saying that negatively. It's just, we always joke in the media room that, like, sometimes if we're all in a hurry, we'll combine to transcribe something, or somebody will take a certain player. And the joke is always, oh, Duran's talking, I'll take him. It's going to be like 90 seconds or whatever. But yeah, he has looked a little more comfortable. You know, obviously the staff has talked about, he's been really productive, you know, really playing with a lot of passion out there. Look, we saw this in 2022. You know, I know people made the point, hey, maybe he's feeling a little bit better because John Allen's gone or whatever. Well, John Allen and Chase Young and Montez Sweat were all here in 2022, and Daron Payne delivered probably the best individual season of any of those guys while they were here. So we know he has it in him. If he is a little more comfortable, a little more relaxed as a person and his space in that locker room, great sign, especially if that helps him you know, be a monster out there. They still need that for sure. So, yeah, I mean, he's progressed a little bit, but again, the bar for him is very low when it comes to, you know, talking and expressing himself.
Ben Standing, my guest here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. How hard do you think that they're going to go practice-wise tomorrow? It's a little cooler, not as hot as it's been recently. Are we seeing like a two-hour, two-and-a-half-hour practice?
Well, it's possible, right, because they're off the following day, and then they get ready for New England right soon after that. So to some degree, this is going to be like the last like main practice before they go up to New England. They'll practice, you know, Monday, but they're traveling Tuesday. So I don't know how much they're going to do, you know, go after. So yeah, this could be the one of the, maybe the last one before that game that they're really to really go hard and, you know, to prepare. I know, like, for example, you know, Marcus Mariota has not been practicing recently. He's been out there for individual drills, not the game. And I don't think there's anything going on with him. I think they're like, hey, we know what he can do, but we need Sam Hartman and Josh Johnson to get as, you know, acclimated as possible to the plan, because they're the ones who are actually going to be out on the field. And they're the ones who are, we need them to be good so that all the other pieces can be, you know, have a good chance to show what they can do. And I imagine that'll be the case in some other spots as well. There'll be some other vets like, okay, we don't really need this. You know, does Bobby Wagner and Von Miller really need to play against New England? Probably not. They can do the joint practice, of course, but the game itself, probably not. So, you know, this will be the last big practice. Then they get the joint with New England for one day, and then the game, not saying the game will be secondary, but to a degree, the game will be secondary.
We've talked a lot about running backs, mostly Robinson and Bill. How have guys like Chris Rodriguez and Jerry McNichols looked?
They've looked like they're not Bill. McNichols' role, as we saw last year, did a heck of a job as a complimentary piece who could fill in when needed. You know, he had, what was that, the Arizona game? He had a surprisingly productive game when I think Robinson was out that week. So, like, they have Eckler was out that week, I think. Sorry. They have done he's done a pretty good job. Rodriguez, I don't know. I just think he's in a tough spot, right? He gives them something similar to what Brian Robinson has, but he's not been able to really compete with Robinson. And now you have Bill coming in, who is also viewed as a lead back type, and he has been very impressive in practice. In the shorts shirts and shorts situation, but he's looked good. So I don't know how Chris Rodriguez makes this team, and if he doesn't, you know, if I were him, I'd be like, okay, I gotta go. I don't know what the point would be of staying on the practice squad. So, you know, unless there's a bigger shakeup in the running back room than we know right now, I think he's just going to be an odd man out. And I think with McNichols, there's room for him, but like he's in that bucket of like three or four guys, I would think, that's like, hey, we'd like him on the team. He can help us. He can play special teams, but we can't keep them all. So I think he still has a good chance to be on the team, but, you know, it's going to be a little trickier if this Kroski-Merritt thing really holds up.
Ben Standing, my guest here. Ben, final question for you. Just some thoughts on the offensive line. We talked about Connerly, I think, earlier this week. What about Brandon Coleman? How is he adjusting to playing left guard alongside Laremy Tunsil?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, Dan Quinn, I believe, was asked the other day about, like, kind of who's standing out to you. And he mentioned Coleman, just how much he's liked what he has seen over there. You know, look, this is the position that a lot of people thought he should be at from the start. He's, you know, huge guy, strong, pretty athletic for the position. You know, I would like to see him with Laremy Tunsil a little bit more. Tunsil's been out there some, but, you know, he's gotten the vet rest days and things like that. I think these preseason games for a guy like that could be pretty beneficial. And, look, I think that let's just for argument say that Josh Connerly doesn't start the year in the starting lineup. We'll see. But with Coleman and whenever Connerly is ready to go, man, the upside on this line has just gotten so much better. I've said this before, but it's hard to believe. It wasn't that long ago that, like, we're looking at, wait, Andrew Norwell and Trey Turner are your guards? That, you know, that Carson Wentz and Sam Howell are just getting destroyed in the backfield, even if they had something to do with it. And to go to this where, you know, I mean, look, even just from a year ago, you know, this line looks considerably better from a potential standpoint. I think Coleman's is part of that. Without question, you know, I always keep expectations a little low when a player's making this kind of switch, but I understand where Dan Quinn is coming from, that he looks like he could be a pretty good fit there for the long haul.
Ben, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the day off. I'll see you out there tomorrow morning.
Sounds good, man. See ya.
That is Ben Standy, good enough to join us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. As he and I mentioned, no practice today for the team, but they are going to be out there in pads, hopefully in pads, tomorrow. It's a practice that is open to the fans, so if you're out there, holler at me. I'll be out there hanging out, having a good time, maybe seeing Terry McLaurin sign some autographs. We shall see. We are going to play the video package that the NFL Network put together for Terry being named number 52, so you'll hear that on the other side, plus some really, really good news that has nothing to do on the actual football field, but everything to do with the football team when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!